While some people spend their days reading haughty works of literature and theology, time doesn't always allow such luxury, especially when you balance your life, work, school, family, and wife. Sometimes you just don't have time. Just imagine your day today. Dinner has to be made when you get home. Homework has to be finished, not only yours, but maybe your children's. Time for the kids to take a quick shower, fix the leaky faucet, time for a nightly story, and if you're lucky, you might even get in a devotion before bed. The one chance you have for a break and to delve into some maybe substantial reading ends up being a chance to sit on the sofa and watch some Disney movie on a rare Friday night when you don't have other plans. I don't know about your house, but most of our movies are still rated G. You know how every Disney movie goes. The forgotten, wimpy person or thing, maybe even an item or utensil, just wants to be noticed, recognized, and admired. One of my favorite lines is when a character is told by the hero, "You're nothing, nothing." And the little crustacean looks up and simply says, "I want to be a winner." Isn't it funny how life works out? Sadly, our lives many times reflect these silly little movies, except for the ending. I don't know about you, but I have yet to save the world. You long for significance, purpose, power, or prestige. You're struggling with the desire to make a difference in the world. Many of you came to the seminary for that distinct purpose. That is, to make a difference in the lives of others or for those around you. You pray daily for a chance to make this difference, to have a legacy, a lineage from the work that you have done or will be doing in the near future. Earlier this week, I was walking through the oldest cemetery in Savannah, Georgia, reading the various gravestones of once great people who now lay in the ground. Their legacy, for the most part, is long gone, and their gravestones are barely legible, let alone honored. Their prayers have long been silenced. Prayers and promises are interesting things. Abram felt dejected before God, victorious over the Asiatic monarchs. Abram nevertheless dreaded their return. Here he has been delivered, but he sits with depressive fears over his life and the future. Abram was occupied with the unfulfilled promise of God. He is filled with doubt, anger, and lost hope. He doubts the promise made by God as he considers his own childless marriage. Abram also has come to the resolve that the plan of his servant, who is due to inherit his property upon his death, is the destiny of the promise. Abram had been given a clear promise from God about the natural seed. There were nevertheless those who scoffed at those promises, as heretics and those that deny the promises are in a habit of doing. Let's face it. Abram also doubted his own future. Those around Abram made the case that the promise was not to be applied to his natural seed, but to an adopted one belonging to the household, for Abram was old and his wife was barren. The promises of God, of course, were sure, but along came this demonic reasoning with its distinction between natural and adopted seed. This reasoning so disturbs and distresses the heart of the saintly patriarch that he humbles himself and submits to the will of a false god, but not without profound grief and sorrow, for he thinks that God is forsaking him and has changed his will. Now Abram goes to the Lord in prayer. This is a private prayer, and he goes in the quiet of the night as he is drawn to seek help. The Lord comes to Abram and strengthens him. God's message to him is profuse, and he lavishes his grace on Abram, even adding signs and wonders. Abram is led outside to look at the stars. Look now toward heaven and count the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your descendants be. The prayer and the promise of God are assured. The promised child had yet to come, but God made himself known to Abram. Now we know that Abram becomes Abraham and is blessed with a son. The son he names Isaac. Abraham's one and only son, the son of the promise, the son of the prayer. Abraham seems to have the promise fulfilled. He has a son, and his descendants will be as the many stars in heaven. Yet Abraham is asked to do something no man should ever face. Abraham is asked to sacrifice his son. Isaac is to be slain. The pain of the father at the pending death of his only son. A substitute is made for Abraham's son, and Isaac is spared. Indeed, we as descendants of Abraham are witnesses and benefactors of this promise. The promise of a substitute, the prayer of the Son, is the reality in the Trinity. God the Father sacrificed his only begotten Son for the sin of the world. The divine substitute given to a sinful race, a sinful people, so that those with sin can be found sinless by the Father. We see the promise in Abraham and his prayer and promise. The prayer and promise that is fulfilled in God's sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. By God's grace, the substitute came for us, the Christ, the Son of God, who is sacrificed for you, for your sins, for your disease. Christ is now your substitute. You might face a short future here on earth, but you have gained an eternal home. For you, the prayer and the promise is also a reality as you prepare for your future. You have prayed for help and guidance in your life, and you wait the fulfilling of the promises of our Lord. Yet the promise isn't something that is only relevant and revealed to you in the future. The promise of your inheritance is a reality in the here and now. You, the descendants of Abraham, your life spared by the living sacrifice, Jesus Christ, now live in prayer and promise. You are one of those stars that Abram saw in heaven. You were marked as one, a legacy as one marked by Abram's seed. Your prestige, promise, and future are all part of that promise once made. It is in that promise that you will find comfort and peace as you feel the trials of everyday life. The promise that you will find as you feel the crush of sin and Satan in your life. The doubt and lost hope in the future and a life you wait for, hoping, waiting, living in fear, but living in faith as one God has given his promise to. The promise is given, the promise of the ultimate sacrifice of God's Son Jesus, the sacrificial substitute for your sins. Jesus, who provides for you the ultimate healing that is yours as a descendant of Abraham, chosen by God. And as one of our great hymns so clearly proclaims, Lord, at last thine angels come, to Abraham's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.